All right, we are allegedly recording. And we have just witnessed one of the most mind-boggling, confusing, awful, horrific 2 hours, two and hours and 15 minutes, because it was extra long, of Marquette basketball in recent memory. And
Patrick,
Ben
I
Snyder,
want to die.
yeah, I'm right there with you, man. Pretty much about the worst possible game from an emotional standpoint, I would say, because just really wasn't basketball for large stretches. Was
Yeah.
just sort of like a sort of a pin the tail on the donkey of fouls for a large stretch, like, you know, who could make the most creative contact to get whistled. And then unfortunately, as often happens, the referees got tired of calling the exact same foul on one end, and the other team offered more variation for the ways that they could create contact. And so the referees rewarded that. And also, there was no real plan for how to address that. And that's where you end up with a game that, by all accounts, was heading towards an ugly, mind-numbingly bad win that, you know, why not just have the bottom fall
Yeah.
out? And I don't think Marquette's going to miss the tournament. I think
Yeah,
they could
that's yeah, that they could lose the next
lose
two
out and
games. They're
still
still
make
gonna
it.
make it comfortably.
They'd make it at 18 and 13.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty. I think where it really hurts the most from a is from an apathy standpoint, because I really just don't. I'm about done with this version of Marquette basketball.
Yeah, I didn't want like so I guess to kind of paint the whole picture of where I am going into this since the last time we recorded, we had the Georgetown game, which about was everything that we could have possibly expected. And then like you said about the end of this game, for the entirety of Marcus's senior night, the bottom just fell out of Seton Hall, and at least for me, that was what I was looking forward to for pretty much the entire year. I wanted this whole season to go well, particularly, but I knew that to some extent the Marcus Howard, Miles Powell national media debate was going to be settled on that one game.
Oh, it's over,
And
folks.
yeah, I mean, I can't necessarily like. I know in my heart of hearts that Marcus Howard is the better player, but I truly can't blame the national media for
No.
picking Miles Powell at this point. And so,
I extremely half-assed voted for Marcus, in our anonymous Eagle poll that I'm sure is coming out soon. But yeah, I can't really even.
yeah,
I
most of my feelings at this point are tied to getting the best possible finish for Marcus Howard because he's probably my favorite basketball player ever.
Yeah.
And to see it go out like this at this point is just, it's sad. It's really sad. I'm not happy right now. And yeah, normally when we are recording after a loss, it's generally on a Sunday night when Marquette had lost on like the Saturday, so I'll have like a day to, let my emotions out internally, maybe seethe for half hour or so, and then I'm relatively back to normal. We are currently in the high emotional portion of the post-loss version of Ben, and Let me tell you, it is not pretty right now.
Yeah, it's not good. Let's. I mean, I don't really even know what we want to do. Like, do we want to just talk about. We could complain about the officiating some. I mean, I think we already kind of did.
Yeah, I mean, again, we complain about the officiating as much as we want, but in all honesty, they might have, like, at a maximum, they would have turned this 1 point loss into like a grueling 6 point win, maybe. And even still, I would be coming on here complaining about how Marquette played and what that means for the Big East tournament and the NCAA tournament. So that second half stretch where DePaul went, I think, 7 minutes without a field goal. I think they had a few free throws, and maybe at one point at the end, they got a bucket on a goaltend. But in that stretch, Marquette took, I think, a 3 point lead or something like that and turned it into an 8 point lead. And that lack of separation, I think Andy, the head of this mothership, he pointed out that he pointed out how big of a stretch that was for Marquette to not get that separation because DePaul is so good. Oh my God, guess oh my God, I just remember that they didn't have Paul Reed in this game. They did not have their best player. I for whatever reason I forgot about that for the most part. Just wow, that is their only great player, and they just didn't have him. That's fun. Oh boy.
They had a couple of players really step up.
Yeah, Weems played legitimately well.
Weems was great. I'm trying to remember. Darius Miller was very good.
Are you talking about Darius Hall?
Darius Hall, yes. Why did I say Darius Miller? Darius Miller played at Kentucky, didn't he? Like he was like a guy on the on multiple. Yeah, Darius Miller played at Kentucky.
Shout out to him. Good for him. He gets a shout out on this pod.
Darius Hall was really good. He guarded Marcus Howard a lot. He made a bunch of free throws as a 52% free throw shooter.
Yeah,
And
he and Jalen Butts, both being roughly 50% free throw shooters, made a
yeah.
ton.
And in this kind of game, I believe Darius Hall may have outperformed Marcus Howard at the free throw line. I know Marcus missed a couple. I
Marcus
think,
was 11 of 13, Darius Hall was 9 of 10, so yes, he did outperform him.
which not going to be a recipe for success. And I think in the first half, I was shocked that Marquette was winning for most of the half, tied at half, because of how they're so reliant on free throw margin and free throw scoring, and they were buried at the line. Now in the second half, it was more balanced, or at least anecdotally. I actually haven't looked at it. Was it more balanced? I'd be curious. It seemed more balanced. It seemed like both teams shot an asinine number of free throws as opposed to one team shooting a lot of free throws.
I think DePaul, I want to say, based on what I remember looking at a score bug at one point, DePaul had shot 15 free throws in the first half and ended up with 35. Marquette, I think, only had like six and ended up with 19. So,
So
I
closer,
don't
but
know. Yeah,
not
it's
quite.
close. It
So,
was close-ish
yeah.
in the
But
second
I mean,
half.
Marquette got called for some truly ridiculous stuff. But I mean, whatever. They were still right there to win that game. And it just the bottom fell out because of there's not really a plan at the end of games besides get Marcus infinite screens
Yeah, can we
and get him a look.
quickly talk about the possession that resulted in a fast break when the game was tied at 65. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The game was tied at 65. Was it the
Marcus
one
had
where?
a block shot.
Oh yeah, where he just shot it and he shot a three into the.
Into the waiting arms of someone, and it had to be a rush shot because it was late in the shot clock. But that was partially because Brandon Bailey, I believe, went from the corner opposite of Marcus, dribbled it up to the free throw line and out to the wing and handed it off to Marcus. And it was just a completely broken possession, and it was off a timeout too. And boy, how does Marcus just not go to every single one of the starting wings on the team and not just like punch him in the face?
Yeah. Well, he seems like a great guy, but even like you can see his face.
We all have our limits.
You can see his face at the end of the game when he was at the free throw line. He just did not look happy. No. And it felt like this team was. The burden on him is so heavy late in games, especially when no one's having a good game. It was crazy. And no one was having a good game at all. There was no one for him to go to. And gosh, I hate to call people out, but I don't hate to call this person out. Jay Sorgi, who occasionally likes to watch Marquette basketball and complain about things for likes on Twitter. Logged on to say to track the number of possessions that Marcus was driving and not scoring, and came up with some arbitrary number that didn't hold any sort of water. What do you want him to do? Like
there were I want to say at least four or five different sessions. I know I can count three to Sakar Anum where it would just be a simple pick and roll. Sometimes they'd have two guys setting a pick for him, and he'd be driving on Jalen Butts. Like, he'd get that switch on him, and the help from the corner could just go directly to him, and Marcus could and did kick it out to Sakar Anum and Kobe McEwen for a wide open corner three, and those guys just knew not to respect it. And like, Sakar Anum is completely lost right now. He's lost his aggressiveness to get to the bucket, and he can't shoot anymore.
You wanna know what the real issue with this team is Sakar Anum. I mean, he missed a layup at one point today that was just point freaking blank, and that he'd done everything but get there, and they still tapped it back, but it was like, oh, you can tell this guy has no confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side of things, Kobe McEwen can't. The shots that go in for Kobe McEwen seem completely random and of no sort of variation.
The fast break layup he had was entirely accidental.
I can never tell if a Kobe McEwen shot's going to go in because there doesn't ever seem to be any rhyme or reason to it.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of what I was saying, and you can chicken and the egg this a little bit and say, well, he wasn't passing. But the last field goal made in this game by not Marcus Howard was Brandon Bailey layup with 7 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
And
Brandon's lost all aggressiveness as well.
Now, that's also the last field goal that Marquette made before Marcus Howard's three at the very end, which
fun stuff
is also terrible. But I mean, there's no and that Bailey take was great, and Kobe made a nice corner three right before that. But the fact is, there's no play to get a bucket.
Yeah,
there's no one to get a bucket in rhythm. It's ridiculous. I get that the Howard only doesn't make a ton of sense to people, but it's really the only thing you can do. It's all that consistently works. Everything else is low percentage, and
yeah
it's an issue that it gets figured out, and it doesn't work and they lose games because of it. But nothing else works consistently. So anything else you would do would be, you know, a negative sort of, you know, not a high percentage play, because nobody else has a consistent method of scoring. So yeah. As much as you need to do other things, you can't, it's not that simple, because it requires stuff like what DePaul did at the end of the game when Marquette was up by two, and Marquette had played the zone three possessions in a row, so DePaul threw a lob backdoor for an alley-oop that, while it wasn't executed perfectly, still it resulted in a layup. Mm-hmm. And, like, that is what Marquette needs to do, is when it gets to crunch time and the only play is Howard around ball screens, they need some sort of scheme or play, because the rest of the team isn't stepping up to offer secondary options on those plays.
I kind of want to throw this thought out there, because, I mean, to a large part, Marquette definitely improved on the defense after as a result of this game, but a lot of that was a result of Paul Reed being out and DePaul generally being pretty bad in that area. But given the trend in defense that we saw exacerbated in the Seton Hall game, is there an area for Marquette right now that you can confidently hang your hat on that is not Marcus Howard scoring?
Jace Johnson rebounding.
Okay, fair.
And it's great because
he played great today.
Everyone's clanging 3-point jumpers, and Jace is just taking whoever he's against to school down low and grabbing extra possessions for them. That's been awesome. Nobody is good enough on defense. Nobody's good enough on offense. It's the rest of the team out there. It's why I really want to see Symir Torrence. And I was a little bit shocked that there was no Symir. There just wasn't a lot of Symir Torrence at all in that game. That was very surprising to me.
It felt like it could have been a Torrence type of game. Yeah, I agree.
Wojo's had a really short lease with Kobe. Finally, give Tanya any of his minutes for the most part tonight. Yeah. And Kobe didn't play badly, really. I mean, he didn't play great, but still wasn't. Still could have used some Simeon, I think.
Yeah. So that's, I guess we can at least hang our hat, hoping that Jace Johnson's rebounding can win us some NCAA tournament games if we want.
Yeah. No, I mean,
probably not.
This team's done.
And even they could win first round game. It's
sure. I mean,
they're going to be probably an 8-10 seed at this point, which like every team around that area will be playing each other, and they're all equally as flawed as.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
But like, even if they win a first round game against someone, like just going to run into like a Dayton or someone a lot more well-rounded than them, and a team that would require insane performances from Kobe and Sakar in order to beat them. So maximum amount of time playing we're going to see out of them. That was the sentence. We'll be like second round probably. So
I mean, they're not, It's totally house money at this point. It's just like you can't expect them to win any particular game. I don't know. I guess they should win at St. John's, but
But St. John's just destroyed Creighton.
Right. So probably not. Like, right. I mean, I don't even know if you can bank on that at this point.
Yeah.
But no, they're broken again. But yeah, sure, they could totally win. They could totally win a tournament game because you're right. Every other team in at that stage is broken. I think the biggest issue is that, I mean, who really can get excited about this team at this point? I love Marcus Howard. I'm almost to the point of like, I'm tired of watching him have to push the rock up the hill every game because everyone around him is so incapable of raising their level. And I mean everyone.
Yeah. Marcus is pushing the rock up and everyone seems to be content with sitting on the rock and
right.
And letting him do all the work.
It's not fair. He's one of the greatest college basketball players ever at this point.
And even still, like, we can, like, put some, I don't want to say blame on Marcus last year, but we can point to him a little bit in his over-aggressiveness and that top dog mentality that he deserved as part of the reason that they collapsed down the stretch last year. That is not the case this year because Marcus is still trying to distribute to other players. Like, saw in that Georgetown game, he was passing to other people. Seton Hall game, he was definitely trying to work other people in at first. Today, those pick and roll passes to Sakar, like I mentioned earlier, like, he's definitely out here trying to get the team to follow him as much as he can. It's just these other players just aren't stepping up. And it really sucks.
Yep. And I think that it's funny because everyone's just trying to call them a bubble team now. And I think people are tired of watching it. And I don't blame them. I mean, I'm going to probably watch on Saturday.
Saturday, yeah.
Probably going to watch, but I'm certainly not going to put as much emotional investment behind it. And it just sucks. Marcus is a generational player, and the direction the program is headed in right now is just not positive. And gosh, they've got another group of amazing players coming in. What a situation that's going to be. And
and that's another situation. I mean, we're getting way too ahead of ourselves, but who cares? Part of the questions going into this year was Wojo trying to find positions to put different people in, and even still, he's kind of struggling with like what to do with Kobe because he's clearly better as a distributor, but just Kobe doesn't want to do it, and who to put in the Bailey Kane spot and which lineup is the best. And then next year it's going to be a lot of young stretch lanky guys, and we're just going to have to find a way to mix and match those guys into a cohesive lineup. And this is not giving me a whole lot of faith in that, especially when the senior leader on the team is Kobe Palmball McEwen.
Yeah,
that's my new name for him. That's a real clever one, Ben.
That's gonna be a weird dynamic, man. Another thing. All right, let's take a quick break.
Okay.
Commercial break in there. One other thing I wanted to that jarred my memory when you said that just now was that on Saturday, which was a weird experience, by the way. I'll get to that in a little bit, but on Saturday. You talked about the Bailey Kane spot, and you saw truly Marquette's roster's biggest flaw on display on Saturday when this roster has not, since Sam Hauser and Joey Hauser transferred, this roster does not have a power forward. And it got blown to smithereens for not having one on Saturday because Sandro Mamukelashvili just destroyed this team.
Yeah, he balled out.
And he is a pure, pure power forward. Just does absolutely everything that you would ask a power forward to do in the modern game. And Wojo, already down like 23 or whatever, just said screw it and started playing two centers because they needed somebody for the size. And Mamukelashvili was just destroying whatever version of Bailey and Kane was in front of him. And that there's your roster hole right there. Getting blown to smithereens. But yeah, I don't know. Do you want to do a, I mean, we're both, you and I are both very rational with the whole like Fire Wojo thing, right?
Where, I hope like, so.
Where we're, you and I are kind of just like, we can't, we don't want to watch this kind of stuff anymore, but we both realize that the realistic circumstances don't
dictate. Oh yeah, to that end, yeah.
Yeah, because I think we're all fed up with, in a certain degree, about where we're at as a program.
Yeah, my ideal version of the program does not involve Wojo as the coach next year, but yeah, he's not going to get fired, so I'm not wasting too much of my breath trying to speak out into the masses of people that mostly agree with me on Twitter about why Wojo should get fired.
So. Yeah. I mean, I don't think we're going to see any change anytime soon. I don't think we should, frankly. Here's the thing. There's a lot more that goes into firing a coach than wanting to fire a coach.
Correct.
I would say the totality of the circumstances right now do not dictate firing Steve Wojciechowski.
Yeah. For one, his contract situation.
Well, that's honestly maybe the biggest factor.
Yeah.
Is that you just extended him.
Yeah.
At just maybe the worst possible time.
Oh, yeah, easily.
I don't think you could have found the worst time to extend him.
Yeah.
Especially given how he's been this sort of alienating sort of guy for certain players for the whole time he's been there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, but I also think realistically it's not an option because the university both believes in him and can't afford to fire him as a result of the contract.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you keep, we're looking at another, at least another season. I could maybe see next year, potentially, if a number of things break negatively, where you could wind up, you know, talking yourself into it.
I'm looking at a reply to your tweet about.
I saw Dana. That. You just tweeted currently discussing it. That's funny.
For head coach Stan, that actually might be the hashtag that I use for all of next year.
And honestly, like, I would love to have Stan Johnson as the head coach of Marquette University.
I love him.
He's great, man. And, like, at one point, I forget which player it was. Oh, it was Kane. Kane had two turnovers in a row and got pulled. Wojo was pissed. Kane, head down, walked right over the bench. Not a word to Wojo. Stan sits down, talks to him, says all this stuff. Now, maybe less of an argument for Stan as a head coach as it is an argument for Stan as a necessary part of the Marquette program, because the way Wojo is, he needs a good cop as his lead assistant.
Yeah.
And Stan is that. But I don't think it's super realistic to think that you're going to be able to keep Stan even after this season. Just a number of reasons possibly why. And I don't also think it's realistic to stage a coup unless Wojo were to, for some reason, and with the way he is paid and the security he has and the quality of the amount that Marquette cares about basketball, they would likely have to fire him to get him to, unless he for some reason got some sort of major offer. He probably wouldn't take a lateral move because there'd be no lateral move that would be enough. So all that is to say that the Stan for Stan is another unrealistic circumstance where, well, it makes sense and it sounds good in your head. Sounds good in your head. It doesn't track in reality. And it's the same thing with firing Wojo. Is the fans want it. A lot of fans want it, but it's not realistic. And so, you know, the bureaucracy persists and there's nothing really you can do about it. Except hope that something improves. But obviously, after 6 years, four with a generational player at the controls, and no NCAA tournament wins, three appearances, not a whole lot of anything positive at the end of any of that. You can't really have a good feeling about it. And that's the problem is, you know, Marquette is a wonderful program to support, and is a wonderful basketball community. But, yeah, it's getting very difficult to sort of muster the enthusiasm for stuff that continues to happen like this.
Do you want to know something fun?
What's fun? I don't think it's going to be fun.
It's not going to be fun, I promise you that. DePaul's effective field goal percentage tonight. The first number is a 3.
Oh, God.
The second number is a 3. The point after the decimal is 9. 33.9
effective and they won.
Field goal percentage. And they won. If you want a point of reference, when Marquette beat Loyola Maryland to open up the year, Loyola's effective field goal percentage was 33.8. So, comparable to that, but a loss, which is not fun. I don't like that. Pat, what are we gonna do?
Well, Ben, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm gonna be honest with you, Ben. As much as I love Marquette basketball, my priority is currently avoiding the coronavirus, which is not something going well in my neck of the woods right now.
Oh yeah, shout out Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, no, let's not shout out. There's just a report of coronavirus at Amazon headquarters.
Ooh.
So that's not superb.
There was a case in Madison, wasn't there?
Yeah, there's something in Wisconsin. Yeah. Chicago State, this just showed on Twitter. Chicago State will not be traveling to Seattle U or Utah Valley for the coronavirus, because of the coronavirus, for their basketball games this week.
I feel like they were just kind of looking for an excuse to not have to pay for travel.
I mean, I'm not going to say it. But yeah. Well, geez. So yeah, so that's kind of the A1 thing going on in my world right now. But it's still not life is an in life is interesting right now, and Marquette basketball is oh my God, Pat 40 just tweeted that. Pardon my cynicism, but virus or 4-25 team that can save some money by skipping that trip. Love it. Love it. Oh
We're
my
on the
God.
same wavelength.
That's great. Anyway.
Yeah, I'll
Oof.
be I guess I'll be in New York mainly to visit my sister next weekend who lives in Brooklyn, but
Oh,
along
dude.
the way I was planning on going to the quarterfinal game that Marquette was going to be playing in, but there is a non-zero possibility that we don't even make it to the quarterfinal game.
That's true.
That's something. Remember
Somehow
when
I
we were
just
just
don't
like
think.
riding high after beating Butler?
Somehow I just don't think that this team's gonna lose to S to St. John's and DePaul after losing to DePaul in a 3-game sequence, but maybe not. I don't
They
know.
could.
Maybe I'm crazy.
Hey, there's always a chance. Never doubt this team. They can do anything that they want, including losing to DePaul twice in a three-game stretch, sandwiched by a loss to St. John's.
Yeah. Oh, let me talk about being at Marquette on Saturday.
Oh, yeah,
First
I'd
of
love to
all,
hear about your
wow, am I so
experience.
glad to be home. And like I was saying going into the weekend not to do more coronavirus pod, but thank God I'm traveling this weekend and could just be done with it and not have to like worry about airports in the midst of the craziness. Now, was that, potentially short-sighted because of, this has already been out there, so it's not like a, it's not like it's it's not like it was any safer this weekend probably than it is next weekend. And it's just a delay in reporting. But going into the weekend, I was like, thank God I'm getting this out of the way right now, and this will be great. So the second, so I get there, and first of all, I mean, the atmosphere was fantastic, for 10 minutes of the game. And then the second half was one of the more surreal sporting events I've been to, in that there the crowd, understandably, because they were getting their doors beat blown off, was just super quiet and gave up on the game like 15 minutes with 15 minutes to go. And so the result was this weird frenzied comeback at the end, which the crowd got into, but it was crazy because it was the only time the crowd was loud at all in the second half was the last like 2 minutes of the game. And
Yeah, and it
it was
happened like by complete surprise.
totally, it was so weird. And so yeah, it was almost because they were just the Seton Hall had an unbelievable game shooting the ball, and it was awesome to be back at the Forum again and to experience the game. But gosh, it was just such a weird game to go to because it was super emotional with Marcus and Marcus versus Miles and all of it. And then it just like really, it kind of, the air went out of the balloon and there wasn't enough energy to really have the full experience at the end. It was kind of a bummer, all things
Yeah,
considered.
that game, I was probably more emotionally drained after that, given the build up to it and just the complete letdown, which was also combined. Like, that was probably the most extreme case of Marcus was phenomenal and literally everything else was terrible. Like, Marcus had a phenomenal game, probably one of his five best of the year, which is bonkers to say after a 37-point game. But, like, that was the Marcus performance that I had dreamed about in the offseason. Like, he performed better than Miles Powell, like, from a stats standpoint. But the fact that, like, no one else could show up on probably his most important game of his Marquette career, it made me, like, incredibly sad to just know that that was the type of letdown that he was going through just because the players around him suck. And yeah, like, even as that comeback was happening, like, when they were down five, seeing Hall at the ball, like, I still acknowledge that, like, if they got a turnover into three, which are two reasonable things to happen, like, they would be right back in the game. But throughout that whole time, I was just like, no, just end this. Like, don't rope me back into this nonsense. I don't. We had acknowledged that it was over 40 minutes ago, so let's just get this thing rolling to the speeches so I can watch it seven times in a row.
Yep. The speech at the end was great. Marcus stood by Wojo, which was pretty powerful, and despite there being the booing is real, by the way, that I experienced as far as
did Ward they boo Wojo when Marcus mentioned him during the speech? Because I was
no
okay, and that was really, I was nice, looking for honestly. That and I didn't hear it.
No, it didn't happen, which was really nice. But there was a Fire Wojo chant when they went down about 20 with 12 minutes left.
Nice.
Yeah, it was kind of near my section. It died out pretty quickly, but it was real, and it was kind of, well, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I think in general, there's some apathy here, and a lack of any sort of faith in the program.
How was the post game bar scene? Assuming you.
Oh gosh, man. How you remember it?
Where were you?
I went on a bit of a whirlwind. But no, so the immediate post-game bar scene, I forget how much I hate all of that. and, oof, that was rough. But yeah, it's a brat house for
love
a long
brat house.
Yeah, and went to both levels of brat house over the course of the immediate aftermath. I went to Duke's, okay. I went back to Murph's about halfway into the night, which was interesting.
That is a move that you should never do.
Nah, dude.
I'm team Cavs. Team
oh, Cavs well, wet, yeah, baby. No. Yeah, I was too, but Murph's is just an experience. It was just good to be in Murph's again. It's again, as you remembered.
Yeah, it's just the feeling of it, you know?
And then I finished the night actually at Mecca, which is that really nice new bar across from the Forum, which has just this giant television set up.
Oh, yeah, I've walked by it, never been in. Yeah.
So, yeah, it is what you remembered. It was crazy packed. Those that went a little bit way too hard filtered out, and then it was kind of a zombie scene by the end of the night. But yeah, it was a vintage Market basketball Saturday. How about that?
That's good to hear. That was the one aspect of that day that I knew I was missing out on, and it made me sad that I couldn't be there.
Oh yeah, it totally was a vintage kind of day, because it was, everyone was up for the game and the crowd wanted to be into it.
Yeah.
It was better the crowd would have been into it. I don't blame the crowd at all.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should call. we can do more general basketball talk next week as the tournament comes fast upon us here. But for now, we lost to DePaul, so we broke the rule.
The one rule that we need to adhere to every single year, hashtag don't lose to DePaul. And guess what they did today? They lost to DePaul.
Broke the rule.
Although I should credit myself, when Paint Touches asked me to fill out the game-by-game predictions at the beginning of the year, I did pick Marquette to lose to DePaul on the road. I am now just remembering that. So bow to me, all you peasants, at how right I am.
Because I am
your god.
I did see a tweet about that they're underperforming almost everyone who filled out that poll. So that's good.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we'll be back next week. Hopefully some more interesting college basketball stuff. Hopefully college basketball makes it through the end of the year. I know not everyone else is living in Seattle, and so is probably a little less concerned about the coronavirus, but I think there's some legitimate potential for the conference tournaments and NCAA tournaments to be severely affected by this. I hope that doesn't happen, but I also hope that good choices are made and all that. So,
and Patrick, I think I speak for the rest of the Marquette fan base when I say that it would be pretty inconvenient from our perspective if you were to die. So don't do that.
That is the nicest thing you've ever said to me. Thank you.
I'm glad.
I'm not worried about dying. I give you that. I am worried more about the lack of sufficient healthcare and what needing that healthcare could result in. But that is another pod. That would be a more appropriate discussion for something like Chapo Trap House.
Go vote, everyone. That is the lesson for losing to DePaul. Just go vote.
Go vote. The anonymous Bernie Sanders voter podcast will be recording here next week. Anyhow. I love this end of this podcast. Let's bottle this one up and support your local democracy, folks.